It's been a while away, and we are back once again with another brand of Overtime, the radio program right here on the MNHockeyHub.com and the Wagon Train Live. Obviously, do we need to see any more? The state tournament is before us here as it starts tomorrow, Wednesday, with Class A action. We're going to break down the Class A and the 2A, talk a little bit about those riveting section finals. Tim Kolehmainen's going to join us with his thoughts and much more right after this on the Overtime Radio Network.
Zach, Sammy, and Cole all have a very special wish. We're making those wishes come true. Hi, I'm Brian Dennehy. I want to be sure that you know about a very special wish-granting organization, Wishes and More. We enhance the life of a child fighting a terminal or life-threatening condition by providing extraordinary experiences and more. If you know of a child that we can help, or if you'd like to help us make wishes come true, please contact us. Thanks.
We welcome our very own contributor, Tim Kolehmainen, to the program. Tim, wow, we're ready to go, a state tournament. Do you have the car warming up yet?
Ready to roll. I'm doing my laundry, and I'm packing my best hockey gear with me. And I don't mean hockey gear. I'm not planning to get out there on the ice or anything, but I'm excited about it nonetheless.
What does that consist of? What's hockey gear for you?
Well, hockey, I got to bring my laptop, you know, that kind of hockey gear. Laptop, I've got my camera set, you know, I've got my, my wife was teasing me there the other day. She said, you know, and she's looking at my clothing, she said, you dress like a coach, and you're not even a coach. I mean, you're wearing all this, you know, Nike dry fit crap. And you know,
that would be the definition of a wannabe.
That's exactly right. Exactly.
But aren't we all real? Aren't we all really wannabes to our own level?
I think so. Nobody is ever satisfied with what they do. They always want more.
That's right. Never be satisfied. Love it. So you're going to be heading down to the Twin Cities. What a great job you did on that state tournament guide, Tim. You had some help from Mike Murakami and Lauren Nelson as they helped pen that piece for you. But gorgeous looking cover. You've brought your design mode to the next level.
Oh, excellent. I hope everybody downloads that thing. You know, prints copies of it out, brings the copies to the state tournament. Loads it up onto their iPad, their iPod, their whatever they're bringing with them, because you can view those PDFs on a lot of those portable devices, and you know you'll have it right there with you at the games. Anytime you want to cross reference something, you can check it out. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see it in print too.
Well, it's the second one you've done now. Last year's was really good. It was fantastic. I've had a chance to peruse this one and have been nothing less than impressed. I'm going to print off 10 of these things. I'm going to bind them. I'm going to have a copy, a gift wrap for yourself. It's a hockey fan's dream. It's got all the information in there.
Yes. We went pretty far in depth with this thing. We've got rosters. We have you know, leading scorers, leading goaltenders from the season. That's combined stats, both from regular season and from the playoffs. We have the road to the axe, you know, the full schedule with the results of each team that's there. Photos, some great photos, feature story. You know, we did a 500-word feature story on all 16 teams that are down there. We've got brackets. It's a great piece. It's kind of complimentary to that preseason preview guide that we put together, that nearly 300-page preview guide. This is along those same lines, only it's taken it to another level for these 16 teams that made it.
What we like to call the encyclopedia. By the way, you will be joining me after each session for special overtimes. You and I are going to build a special webcast page. Obviously, we're doing state tournament play-by-play on the Overtime Radio Network right here on the Hub. So you can not only get the live scoring, the chat, the up-to-date comments from the people that have been following the game from start to finish, accept no substitutes. Turn your TV down. Last year, I know as a fact, Tim, you were able to actually get the delay from the TV and our streaming delay. We're pretty darn close.
Yeah, I heard it was locked in pretty closely, and that's exciting. I think you guys do a great job on the audio, you know, that play-by-play, the analysis of those games as they're happening, just the excitement level that you bring to the games. You can tell there's a hockey fan that's not too far underneath the surface there.
Well, and hopefully there's an actual acknowledgement that, you know, for 4 years we've been streaming games live, video. The only place that's been doing it consecutively for 4 years, video and audio, unfortunately due to contractual obligations, we have to go audio only. So We're going to have that, the full menu. We've laid it out. You've got the tournament guide online. How about the new facelift? Looking great on the site. It makes you want to be there. I can't believe I'm saying that about a hockey site, but it does. It makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it gives you that, you take a look there, things have switched around just enough to let you know, hey, it's state tournament week. We're there. It gets people pumped up, you know, that little bit of a facelift. I love it. We're there. We're only, 26 hours away from that opening Class A game.
Well, look out. The state tournament is about to start. We have the Minneapolis Star Tribune All Metro team. You and I are going to talk a little bit about that. I'm going to want to get your picks for your team. I personally like to wait a little bit till after the tournament because I do say you deserve to make it. If your team plays deeper into the playoffs, I like to pick my team and include that in my thought process. I know that's unconventional and it's not fair, but that's how I roll.
You know what you get is you get
because life isn't fair
on the bubble. Yeah, they're on the bubble, you know, or maybe they're you've got a few spots that you've got guys competing for on your all-state team, and you see what they do in the state tournament against top level competition when the pressure is on them. And, you know, they make their case. It may not be fair, but I can see why you would want to do something like that.
Class AA state tournament. Let's get into it, Tim. In the section finals. Every game, all seven, decided by one goal. The eighth and the 8AA, a one-goal game with an empty netter, a 2-0 victory for Moorhead. It can't get any closer to that. Five of the eight games go to overtime. Two of them to double overtime. I mean, you know, Jim Rich and I were talking on the show last night on Minnesota Hockey on Demand. In recent memory or history, I can't remember a section play down like that.
It fits. It fits with the way this season has gone. You know, we were a little surprised that so many of those sections came down to a one versus a two seed because of the upsets that have been happening all season long. But I think then what you saw was how narrow the margin is between all these teams. So, okay, so we had a little unusual ones versus twos. But the margin between those teams is so slim that, I mean, you saw it. Like you said, five overtime games, some of them multiple overtime games. Just some great hockey, and I think that's the kind of thing we may see continue in the state tournament.
Well, it's funny you say that because I was thinking about it. I wasn't quite sure if you would. You know, the state tournament, a little bit of a different stage. I think the players and teams have done a really good job of managing their emotions and keeping it in check where we don't have those big changes of momentum, goals, emotion. It seems like a little more cerebral approach this year.
I think you can attribute that to the coaching, too. I mean, the coaches know. They know how narrow that margin was this year. They know what they need to do to get their teams ready for these playoffs. And the kids are prepared, too. And so you see that, where you get a goal, a team goes up by a goal, and whereas during the regular season you might have seen, you know, a couple of goals come in succession. And, I mean, you did some games where you'd see a team go on a four-goal run suddenly. You know, they were down 4-0, and they'd score four to come back and tie it. You don't want to see that in the playoffs. You don't want to get down by more than a goal at a time. And so I think you saw teams really buckle down when they give up a goal. And it made for some great games.
You can't panic, but you also you have to use the entire 51 minutes. Of the entire section or Class 2A section games, which one to you stood out as the most entertaining?
Wow. You're asking me to pick between supermodels here, Pete.
Well, what's your pick your flavor. Let's go.
Pick my flavor. You know, I will make both friends and enemies by saying this, but there were two games that really stood out to me, and I don't want to pick between them, but the Eden Prairie Wayzata, just for the quality of play in that game, was outstanding. I mean, you had two teams there that looked like they could be the state favorite. Whoever was going to win that game was going to come out of there as the favorite to win the state title.
In that one, Tim, if I may jump in, you had a lot of seniors playing like freshmen in college and a lot of juniors playing like seniors. You had the top two players, I think, in the state, arguably Mr. Hockey 1A and 1B, or, you know, throw them up in the air. I mean, you know, they named Kyle Rao Metro Player of the Year, but Tony Cameronese, I believe, has every right to fit into that category as well. So, I'm not quite sure which way you go there, but that was a high, high level game. There's a lot of people out there that don't want to hear it, but the fact is, that was about as good a game as it gets. What else did you like?
Yeah, that was the one. And then the other one for the sheer entertainment value, just for the, you know, just getting the monkey off their back. White Bear Lake beating Hill Murray, and the multiple overtimes in that game, and just the ups and the downs. That was a game where one team, Hill Murray, got down by 3 goals and managed to make a rally. And at that point, you thought, I think everybody thought, okay, now they've taken control. They're going to get out of that game. They're gonna escape. And they didn't. White Bear Lake didn't give up, and they got that game winner. And the celebration afterwards, it was worthy of a state title, the celebration that went on after.
You needed to be there to see it and feel it and believe it. In that game, it was quite interesting because at 3-0, I felt like, uh-oh, stick a fork in the Pioneers. This is too insurmountable. The 1-4 neutral zone trap, which was like a half circle at the blue line that took the stretch pass away, absolutely suffocating. The Pioneers score to make it 3-1, but then right back come the Bears. It's 4-1. I think that response, that fourth goal, was almost, even though the Pioneers tied it up, Ben Baugh had his great chance in the goal mouth area. It looked to me like it was too much to follow up and get done.
Yeah, and there's an example of one team falling behind. Like you said, falling behind by a couple of goals in the playoffs, you know, maybe tightening up a little bit, having, you know, just having that, I'm not sure exactly how to put it, just, you know, you get down by that number of goals in a playoff game, and you know you're one and done, and you know, you tighten up a little bit. You maybe panic a little bit more than you otherwise would. Now, credit to them. They did come back all the way and tie that game, but that's quite a hurdle to overcome. I mean, you get down by that amount, you have no margin for error at that point. And like you said, when White Bear Lake got that fourth goal, you started thinking, okay, They're gonna weather this.
Well, and the Bears, though, like the Bears said, though, they were gassed after the overtime, the first one. And, you know, Tim Sager's approach was, we're going to have to go all out. We're going to bring a hardcore forecheck here. Let's put it on the line the first 3-4 minutes, see what we can get here. And they got what they needed with the Mac Jansen goal. It did shock the world. But, you know, that was a group of kids from White Bear Lake that played the game the way it's supposed to be. They played with heart and character. They got after it. That's a very good Hill Murray team they defeated. And you know what? For this year, unfortunately for the Pioneers, it was White Bear Lake's turn. The game of games, though, for me was up at Amsoil Arena. I can't tell you about the environment that brought.
As I'm a Duluth East grad, and so it pains me not to have mentioned that game. But, I mean, you can go across the board. Just the level of play in that game. I watched some of the highlights. I didn't get to see the broadcast of that one. Watched some of the highlights, and it looked to me like both goaltenders were standing on their head for that game, too. Just that playoff-level intensity in that game.
I think just the environment, the vibe, the arena, the accommodations, the level of play, how it was shaking down, the drama. I mean, this sounds crazy to say. The White Bear Lake game obviously was the upset of the century, or at least of the season, which was just terrific. They played a perfect game. Wyzetta and Eden Prairie completely entertained. Edina Burnsville, that was sort of a chess match. But from if I were to pick one, that was the game.
You had a front row seat for that too, Pete. So I am jealous. I got to see a very good game up in Thief River Falls when Moorhead beat Bemidji 2-0, and a mild upset there as well. So across the board, you know, shout out to Lakeville North beating Lakeville South, upsetting them for the second year in a row in the section finals. Just great games across the board.
Between the two of us, I saw 5 and you saw 1. We saw 6 of the 8 section finals. And I think it comes down to flavor of the month, whatever you prefer. There was a section final for everybody. And, you know, we could pull as, you know, that should be, we'll put that on our page, which section final was the most dramatic and entertaining. And everybody, you know, you have to have been there. Lakeville North, Lakeville South. I mean, you've got the crosstown rivals going into extra session time and finally getting it done. Charlie Lindgren, look out for him too as well. Now we move our attentions to the state tournament, the seedings. Were you comfortable with 1-4?
I was comfortable with 1-4. You know, there's a case to be made. You know, White Bear Lake may have a case to be made to that top 4, but, you know, Blaine as well. Blaine just beat Duluth East, and Duluth East got the 3 seed, and Blaine was unseeded. You know, there's again, it's a factor of how close everything has been this season. You've had teams beating others. You know, it's kind of a round robin. One team will beat another. A will beat B, B will beat C, C will beat A. We get back into that kind of a situation. But I'm comfortable with the way the seeding went down. And the other thing I'm comfortable with also is the way the, you know, the unseeded, the 5 through 8, the way those fell. You know, I think that's a random draw, but I think this year the random draw kind of fell the way we might expect it to.
Yeah, you're right. And you take a look at the first game, Eden Prairie and Lakeville North going after it at the XL Energy Center. That's a 6 o'clock game. How do you feel about that one? You know, it's a 7-4 Eden Prairie win earlier in the year. They were able to put the puck in the net. Charlie Lindgren was in the net for that. He was injured for much of the season, and I think 7 or 8 of their 15 losses came while he was on the bench with an injury.
Yeah, and now if we look at records, we'll see with Hill Murray getting upset that Eden Prairie really is the number one seed, and I don't think anybody's surprised at that. And also looking at the records and the way the season broke down, I think, you know, if you were to hand a seed to Lakeville North, you would match them up with Eden Prairie in that first round. Now, that's going to be an interesting game. Lindgren is going to have to, you know, you may see another one of those 50-save efforts out of him if they can hang with Eden Prairie in that game. I expect the Eagles to win, and I think, you know, 99 out of 100 hockey fans around the state will probably agree with that statement, that Eden Prairie is a pretty heavy favorite in that game.
Count me as one of the 99. Egan and Moorhead, a clash of styles. Egan not afraid to put the puck in the net. Moorhead very stingy defensively in the nightcap at 8 p.m. Your thoughts?
Yeah, fun game there. Fun game. Two teams that haven't seen each other either. So we're gonna get a they're scrambling, looking for tape on each other, I'm sure. But an interesting game, and I think that, you know, both teams led by junior classes as well. Egan's junior class really does a lot of that scoring for them. Michael Zajac and the boys. And Moorhead, on the other hand, also led by its junior class, but more of a defensive style. You know, Bitzer and Gold is a junior. You know, two of his top defensemen are juniors as well, Terry Lebo. So I think it's a great clash of styles. I'm going to go with Moorhead in the upset in this one. And I know
I don't call it an upset either, Tim, really. I think Moorhead is a very good hockey team, and they've been in and out of our top 10, as have Egan with the My Fox. Egan, though, has picked up some very nice wins and played some good teams very solid. They've got the big three led by Zajac, Merchant, and the crew there. They're a good hockey team. That's a game that I think is really going to be one of the most entertaining of the day.
I agree. I think that's the best of the first-round matchups, and, you know, it's the North versus South, the cities versus the, quote, outstate team. It's the...
I didn't even think of that. How did you think of that? Is that an inferiority complex that you're carrying around up there, buddy?
I know a lot of people from the outstate area don't like the term outstate. They say, well, we're not out of the state. We're still in the state.
I agree. I don't get the outstate part either. That's a little bizarre. You know what the bummer on that rivalry is on the Northern versus the Metro schools, or Southern, or, you know, for lack of better terms, the out Metro schools. I don't think the Metro really even thinks about it. It's that arrogant.
They are more concerned with their fellow Twin Cities rivals than they are with strapping it up against.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's really viewed that way. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. That's another poll question. Do you think that's overbaked if you're from the Twin Cities? I don't think the Twin Cityans are really thinking about it that much, and I think it's more of like a Twins fans not digging the New York Yankees, and the New York Yankees fans are like, what? You know, it's not a disrespect, but it's more of is that really true type of thing.
That could be. You know, looking at it from a northern angle, I'm a Duluth East grad, and I live in Moorhead, and I see that northern angle, and that's definitely there for those northern teams. There's a little added push when they get to play a Metro team. I know they don't want to match up with another northern team. I know Duluth East and Moorhead didn't want to play each other. Just the pride of the non-Metro area, I guess, is the way to put it.
Got a 1-4 chance now with those two squads. East takes on White Bear Lake at 1 o'clock. That's the second quarterfinal on Thursday. You know, if I'm Mike Randolph and company, they've got a scrappy squad in the White Bear Lake Bears. Will the big lights be too much? And will the big line of Olsen, Tontonato, and Randolph, how will they score off against Birkenbein and Wallen? And then you've also got Jantz and Morissette. How's that going to work out?
Yeah, you know, and you've got a preview of that already. Earlier in the year, well, I think way back in December, East beat them. It was either 5-1 or 5-2. I don't have it right in front of me now. I took care of them pretty handily, but that was back when, you know, White Bear Lake was still trying to figure a few things out. Pretty clearly, they have figured things out. Winning the Suburban East, upsetting Hill-Marie in the section championship game, I think you're going to see a different White Bear Lake team than you saw the first time those two teams played.
I intentionally didn't bring that result up from December between these two teams because really, when you look at it, it was in December toward Christmas when Hill-Marie was just suffocating in their 3-0 win over White Bear Lake. And if you went off of that, you would have said this is going to be a 6-7-8-1 game at the Coliseum. It wasn't. And I think this is going to be the same thing for the Hounds. If the Hounds think they're going to see the same team they saw in December, they'll be in for a rude awakening, Tim. So this is a tougher game for Mike Randolph. I know he's a terrific coach, and he knows his ins and outs. He's battle-tested. His team is veteran in its approach. They've played a ton of close games. They've traveled the state. They play the schedule they do to prepare themselves for this kind of game.
He's not going to let them look at that earlier result against White Bear Lake either and just say, hey, this is going to be easy. He's going to throw that out the window. I don't think that team is even going to remember by the time he's finished with them, even remember that they played earlier in December.
Edina and Blaine open up the tournament at 11 o'clock on Thursday. Of course, again, you can hear the play-by-play right here live streaming on the MNHockeyHub.com. Yours truly will be calling the play-by-play. We are looking really forward to this tournament as it's going to be a beauty. But these two teams played earlier this year. It was a tie at the Schwann Cup, decided in a shootout. Goes in the books officially as a tie. 12 penalties, or there were a lot of penalties. It was kind of a rugged affair, should I say. And we'll see if bad blood spills over in this one. I doubt it when this much is on the line.
Yeah, I think everybody's emotions will be on their sleeve. But I think they'll rein in some of the stick work and some of the other things that went on in that game. I think what you're going to see is a good physical game, a good hard-checking game. But I think you won't. Nobody's going to want to put either of those teams on the power play.
Who do you like in this one?
I thought maybe you'd let it slide. I thought if I just finished, you wouldn't even ask me who I like in this game. I like the Hornets. I like the Hornets. You know, everybody could keep pointing at Blaine and saying, "Boy, they're underrated. They're underrated. They're underrated." And they really are. And I'm gonna pick against them again.
Dave Oss is gonna love it. That's what he wants to hear.
He's got that team. He's got that team buying into this whole thing, and they just continue to roll. Although I'm gonna go back on a couple of predictions that the two of us made earlier. One of them was I said Blaine was going to come out of that section that until somebody beats them, I'm not going to pick against them. And you, if I remember correctly, you were picking an Eden Prairie Edina final. We were talking about this, and the powers that be maybe didn't like that, and you kind of scaled it back a little bit. But I know that you were picking an Edina Eden Prairie final, and
privately, I haven't wavered from that, and I do regret on the Channel 9 bit when I was asked at the end who my tournament finalists would be, and I went to the Eden Prairie Hill-Marie matchup. But Tim, you know, my heart of hearts says right now, I think Edina is playing about as good a hockey as any team. Max Everson is back. Their defensemen are playing good. I like the goaltender that's played in the state tournament, won it last year. Andrew Ford played in it, won it the year before. Eden Prairie is on an absolute mission to win a state tournament this year. And I think when you really weigh it out in the wash, those two teams, if you can get them into the final, it could be one of the most entertaining, tightly contested, battled out state championships in recent memory. They like each other, but they don't like each other, and the history goes a mile long.
It does. A mutual respect, but not necessarily a mutual admiration. How about that? We could term it that.
And the seniors can fight because they won't be suspended anymore, so they can have a peer sixer. That would never happen, not in a state tournament final. But that's a lot of things have to happen, Tim, for those teams to get there. But I'm under the belief that this is Eden Prairie's tournament to lose. They can lose it. Any one of these teams can win it. But I still think it goes through Eden Prairie. If anybody can knock off Eden Prairie, look out.
There are some teams I like as well. In doing my little prognostication online here, I also picked an Eden Prairie in a final, just looking at the way things laid out. And then I had a Duluth East Moorhead third place game coming out of that. But again, when you look at the results this year, when you look at the team's record, there is no team, standing there with one loss. I mean, there's nobody that looks like they can't be beaten at this point. And so it's going to make for a great tournament.
Yeah, I think it's definitely wide open. I think we've clearly pointed to who our favorites are. I'm comfortable with the top four. I think the one team that can make an argument first would be Blaine. And I think Moorhead could make another argument to say, hey, we could have been in there too. But generally speaking, you have the top four teams laid out. If they advance, I think Eagan has a very strong chance of working their way into the semifinal. Look out. They respect Eden Prairie, but they're not in awe of them. They used to play in the Lake Conference with them. They played them very, very tough this year, as we all know. So I think the Eagan Wildcats are the potential bracket buster.
Correct. I think so. We both think Moorhead will upset them, but that is definitely not a given. There's no real given in this tournament. And if Eagan does get past Moorhead and gets into that second round against, say, an Eden Prairie, we do expect to advance.
All right, you're the big fella here. You had the guts to predict your final. Who's your winner?
I picked Edina. I'm going to go with a Hornets repeat, and I know that aggravates about 95% of the state. Who just does not want to see another title.
Why? Why don't they want to see that?
It's the same reason you mentioned earlier. They're the Yankees of Minnesota high school hockey. They win, and the fans of that team love it. They love it, and they eat that up. But if you're not a fan of that team, it eats at you. You don't eat it up, it eats at you instead. And you think, not again, not again. They can't possibly win it again. I'm here to say, yeah, they can. They can, and I'm going to pick them.
Well, if they can do that, Tim, that's 11 combined from Edina East to Edina. I still don't understand. I'm going soapbox here. Why in the world can't the state league just admit that Edina East and Edina West, it was the same community cut in half? Even tougher to do. Give them the 10 titles, recognize it, deal with it, and they could pick up their 11th. But I'm taking Eden Prairie this year. I don't think Kyle Rau is going to let that happen.
I it'd be tough for me to argue at this point with you as well. It's just the flavor of the moment for me. I like the way the Hornets look.
I know.
It's going to be a great game if those two match up in the final. In fact, I'm looking forward to the entire tournament. I don't think we have a bad game listed. I don't think there's a bad game in the house.
Well, there isn't, and we're going to stop talking about it. We're going to post this show. Everybody check it out. Period 2, Tim and Cole Mine and I are going to come back and talk about the Class A. We're going to go over the All-Metro team from Star Tribune. We'll talk about maybe preluding what MyFoxHockey.com All-State team could potentially look like as that comes up after the season. And then we're also going to move on to, as I mentioned, the Class A tournament, talk a little bit about that. And then in period number 3, you're going to hear from Steve Carroll, the goalie coach. And I think it's such a good sit-down I had with him. We talked about goaltending and the position, and whether people like to admit it or not, the goalie is the key to these playoffs. And I think it's kind of fun to get inside the goalie-in-chief for USA Hockey in Minnesota Division in Steve Carroll and talk a little bit about the position as we can watch for things as it unfolds in the state tournament. It's quite a good segment. We recorded it back in January. I saved it for this week because I thought it was pretty apropos for the tournament. We're going to come back right after this on the Overtime Radio Network.